Today's reading is from 1 Corinthians 3, verses 9 to 23, on page 1146 of the Church Bibles. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, God's building. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. For each one should be careful how he builds, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple, and that God's Spirit lives in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is sacred, and you are that temple. Do not deceive yourselves. If any one of you thinks he is wise by the standards of this age, he should become a fool so that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. As it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows that the thoughts of the wise are futile. So then, no more boasting about men. All things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world or life or death, or the present or the future. All are yours, and you are of Christ, and Christ is of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this opportunity to stand before your people tonight to deliver your message, to deliver your word, to explain your word, Lord. Father, I pray that you'll cultivate our hearts and minds, and that, Father, you will use me and that you will speak through me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, good evening. You're allowed to say good evening to me. Well, let me begin by saying thank you very much, Will, for inviting me to come and be part of the service tonight and to share God's word. And thank you for coming here tonight to listen to me and to praise and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let me just read verse 9 and 16 of 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that we looked at a moment ago. It says, for we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. Verse 16, don't you know that you yourself are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? So our Bible passage tonight is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9 to 23. And our topic, of course, as you know, is cowboy builders. And this is part of an ongoing preaching series entitled Corinth, Full of Life and Full of Problems. And let me just say that I'm really pleased and honored tonight to be here on a night when you're commissioning a mission worker, Stephen, to go off to Malawi. And I just want to pray that when you get to Malawi, that you will be a wise builder and not a cowboy builder in that country. So 1 Corinthians really challenges all of us, all believers, you and I, to examine every area of our life through the lenses of the gospel. The primary message of 1 Corinthians is timeless, really, that followers of Jesus Christ are held to a standard of integrity and morality as we seek to represent his new way of life in our communities. What were the two main reasons why Paul originally wrote this to the Corinthians? Well, Paul wrote to answer questions the Corinthians church had, but he also wrote to address problems within the Corinthian church. And there were many problems in that church, problems of divisions, problems of food, sexual integrity, worship gatherings, and the resurrection. So Paul writes to them to try and address these issues and these problems. And 1 Corinthians begins with a focus on the cross and ends with an emphasis on the resurrection. In 1 Corinthians, Jesus is the resurrected Lord and Savior. And so tonight, remembering that we are each the temple of God's Spirit, let's explore briefly how one builds a temple for God's Spirit, a temple for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's discover, looking at this passage, the kind of foundation we need for this temple. Let's also look at the architects who can help us build God's temple. Let's look at the building materials we need for this temple. And let's look at the building inspector. Building inspector, of course, is God himself. And let's look at the type of builders we need to be. And as we look at these different aspects from this passage, just ask ourselves this very personal question. Am I a wise builder who is careful in the way I build God's temple? Or am I a cowboy builder, aggressive, reckless, and shoddy in my workmanship? And so the use of the term building in our Bible passage tonight really energizes me, because when I was doing my O levels and A levels, I did the equivalent of BTEC diploma in building engineering. So I feel very excited to find this word building in this passage. And I know the difference between a building put up wisely and carefully, following all the building regulations, and one put up carelessly by unqualified and reckless builders. One is safe and sound, and the other is very dangerous and unreliable. And just so the foundation in a building is essential to a building's long-term sustainability and strength, the foundation of our faith is equally critical to the viability and quality of God's temple. We may be teachers and nurses and bankers and accountants, even firefighters, lawyers or business people here tonight, but the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians that we just read that we are all builders. And so each one of us is involved in a lifelong construction project, building a temple for the Holy Spirit of God. And so tonight we're going to learn how to build a first-class temple for God. Some of us are wise builders. We build carefully with the grace of God on the foundation that he has already laid down, which is Jesus Christ, while others are cowboy builders, replacing the solid foundation of Jesus Christ. Now, the Longman Business Dictionary describes a cowboy builder as a house builder with no proper training or official qualifications, who does work of a very low standard. And then it goes on to say that cowboy builders are ruining Britain's historic towns. Is Maidenhead a historic town or not? I don't know if you have any cowboy builders here in beautiful Maidenhead. But in Slough, where I've just come from tonight, we have more than a few cowboy builders. Always ready to repair your roof, to decorate your house, to replace your double glazing, to install a new kitchen for you. But the one thing you can be very sure will happen at the end of your agreement with that cowboy builder is that you will have a shoddy job that needs to be done again and again every few months. And so cowboy builders are simply bad news. I came across a building construction business with a poster on their office window which said, "Come within these solid walls and be protected from the marauding cowboy traders." Every construction project begins with a foundation, because a foundation is a key to the building stability. For you and me who have surrendered our lives to Jesus Christ and his gospel are our foundation. Listen to what Paul says in verse 11. He says this, "For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ." Once we have accepted the basic message of the gospel, that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to save sinners like you and me from our sins, not in our sins, but from our sins, then we can build upon this foundation. And as we mature in the faith, we can add additional layers or stories to the foundation. But some people in the world have other foundations for their lives. Some people believe that science is all they need to trust. Others put their confidence in cultural correctness, which implies total unrestrained inclusiveness, or even worse, in the morality of self-indulgence, which completely removes the word of God as the true standard of life. And still others place their trust in the government, but many others have no foundation at all for their lives. All those who have built their lives on a foundation other than Jesus Christ are doomed to failure. This is because all worldly values and systems and ideologies are imperfect. Only Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, is perfect, eternal, and capable of satisfying the desires of our body, mind, and spirit. Remember that we can only grow in our faith if Jesus Christ and his gospel are our foundation. Any other foundation will crumble under the pressures of the world. Only Jesus can hold it firm. And I dare say what we see happening today in our beloved Church of England is because they have abandoned the historical foundation in Jesus Christ. Instead of the Church of England building on Jesus Christ and the gospel, they are replacing it. And many churches, many people in the Church of England are replacing the foundation of Jesus Christ and the gospel with a flimsy foundation that can only hasten our journey to destruction. Remember this, that Jesus Christ and his gospel are our foundation. For those of us who have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ and his gospel are our foundation. If you stray away from that foundation of Jesus Christ and the gospel, then you become a cowboy builder. So next time you meet a bishop in the Church of England who tells you things that are not to do with the gospel or to Jesus Christ, just whisper, "Cowboy." And before any construction begins, all buildings require an architect or designer so that the building can be functional and pleasing to the eye. In today's passage, the Apostle Paul presents himself as a skilled architect or designer of a human temple dedicated to God. The Apostle Paul is pointing out his unique role in the spiritual development of the Corinthian church. Listen to what he says to us in verse 10. He says, by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it, but each one should build with care. And so through his guidance, many Corinthians came to know Christ, and through his instruction, they grew in their faith. So likewise, many of us can attribute our spiritual growth to the influence of other people in our lives. Our faith didn't just happen overnight. We didn't just grow in one night. There were other architects and designers in our lives who helped us with our spiritual development. It may have been your Sunday school teacher or your vicar, your clergy. It may have been people who were mature Christians who walked with you and encouraged you and were an example to you and who taught you how to respect God's word. For me, it was my grandmother Esther and my grandfather Barnabas who were a significant influence in my Sunday school years. Then while I was in secondary school, a great evangelist called Joe Kyle led me to the Lord. Then while I was in the Royal Navy, an American naval chaplain disciple me. Then during my ordination training, it was Uncle John Stott. You all know Uncle John Stott. Who took a personal interest in me and discipled me and helped me grow in my faith. Then after I was ordained, it was the late Richard Buse. And now I have Will looking after me. The Apostle Paul recognizes that godly people are needed to help people build their faith upon the foundation of Jesus Christ and his gospel. These are the architects of our faith. And so I ask you tonight, do you have an architect in your life helping build your temple for Jesus Christ? That architect may be your vicar. He may be your congregational leader who stands here every Sunday faithfully proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. Or it may be your home group or life group leader who meets you every week and shares the word with you. Find yourself an architect who will help you along, who will help you develop your faith. No building can be built without materials. So general contractors and even home improvement specialists know that there are different grades of materials. Some materials are superior and others are inferior. And you need specific materials for specific tasks. And if you go to the council, any of you who has tried to improve your house or to change your house, you will know that the council has codes so that homeowners and commercial business owners can have assurance that their building will not cave in or catch fire due to negligence. We become cowboy builders of our temples for God when we use substandard materials. The Apostle Paul makes a distinction between two types of building materials in this passage. Each group will later be tested to see whether it is fire resistant, and Paul tells us what will happen to them. And so he says in verse 12 and 13, this is what he says. If anyone builds on this foundation, the foundation of Jesus Christ, using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. And so superior materials include gold, silver, and precious stones. And they're all considered suitable materials and can be used for different purposes because of their various properties. And so as we strive to build our temples, temples for God, only quality materials should be included in our construction. And our first quality building material is the knowledge of the Holy Scriptures, the Word of God. Without a keen awareness of God's commandments and an idea of what is expected, we cannot expect to progress in our faith. The Holy Scripture tells us about the critical building materials we need. For example, confession of our sins to God, which we've just done a moment ago. Repentance, which we've just done a moment ago. Infilling of the Holy Spirit of God. Prayer, engaging in evangelism to build your confidence. Diligent study of God's word. Fellowship with your brothers and sisters. Stewardship of your time, your talents, and your treasure. Serving others to honor Jesus, and a willingness to do anything for the sake of the gospel. These are the quality building materials that will help you build on the foundation of Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul also spoke about temples that were created using inferior materials. And so he lists hay, wood, and straw as things that will eventually be consumed when God tests them with his fire. And so what distinguishes between superior materials from inferior materials? Well, I think the way to distinguish inferior materials from superior materials is by looking at our conduct, our motives, and service. These are the things that determine the types of materials that we are using. And so, for example, giving to the church or the poor is good, but we have to evaluate whether the giving passes the gold standard. If we want to do that, we need to ask ourselves the questions concerning our motives, for example. was a giving to God only a very small share of our incredible wealth, or was it a thoughtful and prayerful act? Are we giving back to the Lord out of guilt and obligation to satisfy our conscience, or are we giving to God from our heart? Are we giving large amounts of money to be seen by others, or to have our name inscribed on a plate somewhere? Or is it our gift as a prayerful response to a need? Our motive for giving determines the type of material we're using to build God's temple. And here's another example. Perhaps we serve by teaching Sunday school, or leading a home group, a life group. Again, our instruction is required to teach the faithful, but our motives, again, have to be examined. Do we like to teach because we like to be in a position of authority and we have a captive audience? How do we approach our home group and life group Bible study? Do we faithfully prepare, or do we leave everything to the very last minute? I saw that gentleman preparing just before the service, and I thought, that's the wise builder. He was reading through everything that he needed to do when he came to stand here. That's a good example of a wise builder. Are we prayerful in our preparation, or do we simply try to get it done? When I arrived, before I left home, I prayed. And when I arrived here, the first thing that Will does to me is say, let's pray again. I thought, okay, we'll pray. That's a wise builder. Did we volunteer to teach because we feel called to share our spiritual gifts? Or were we forced into teaching because no one else could do it? In other words, our motive, the quality of our service, and our conduct determine the types of material we're using to build God's temple. So the question is this, the question to all of us is this: are we shortchanging God? Are we being cheap with the materials we're using to build God's temple? Are we choosing to cut costs and not go the extra mile when it comes to building God's temple? Or even put more bluntly, are we cowboy builders of God's temple? Choose your building materials according to the gold standard that you can only find when you read and you dedicate yourself to the Holy Scriptures, to God's word. And so the ultimate building inspector is God, and he will come to evaluate both the quality of the materials and the workmanship, our workmanship of building his temple. And he will look at our lives, and he will pass a judgment as to whether we were cowboy builders or whether we were wise builders. Listen to what Paul says to us in verse 13 to 15. He says, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. At the end of our lives, the temple of our soul will be tested to see if it can withstand the fire test, God's fire test. We are told that if any of the work remains after it is tested with fire, then we will be rewarded. But on the other hand, if a person's temple is burned to the foundation, it means they really have not lived up to the full potential that God expected them to do once he had laid the foundation for them. So therefore, let us live each day in joyful service by being diligent, hardworking, and resourceful servants of God, so that when that building inspector comes to look at our temples, we will get a gold star to say we have passed. And finally, builders are needed in every construction project. But unfortunately, not all builders are the same. Some are wise, and some are cowboys. And so tonight I'm just challenging you again and again to ask yourself whether you're a wise builder or whether you're a cowboy builder. The wise construction workers are diligent. They use the best materials, are skilled in their trade, and they get the job done on time. The Apostle Paul points out that we are each the builder of our temple to God. And we're challenged to become wise builders. And since God will inspect our temple, we will each want to make sure that it will withstand God's inspection. Surely builders construct their temple on the gospel foundation with faulty materials and are careless in their work. This is what we see today in parts of the Church of England. Nothing escapes the keen awareness of God, and God will burn their temple down. I'm not prophesying that God is going to destroy the Church of England, but I can tell you that God is not pleased with what he's seeing happening in our Church of England today. Therefore, each temple burned to the foundation indicates a Christian who declared his faith but did not do anything with it. So when we become Christians, we want to build on that foundation. There's no need becoming a Christian, giving your life to Jesus Christ, then going off to build it on something else. We need to build it on Jesus Christ and the gospel. The Apostle Paul makes another distinction between wise builders and cowboy builders. He identifies the wise and sturdy builders and mentions a destructive builder who destroys people's faith. Destructive builders pervert the gospel. They drive people away from churches. They encourage people to sin and cause division and disenchantment within the body of believers. Destructive builders cause people to turn away from God and actively tear apart people's lives. Without Christ, people's lives are reduced to rubble. I was speaking to some Christians, some people who came to my church to seek baptism for their little daughter. And they said, "We're not Christians, but we want to be godparents to this little girl here." And I said, you can't be godparents if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior. What are you going to build? How do you want to be an architect of a building when you're not qualified in designing buildings at all? How do you want to give somebody a Christian foundation on Jesus Christ when you yourself have not built your life on Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And they went away really upset, saying, "We will report you to the bishop." Okay. So I'm waiting for the bishop to call me and say, "Why did you turn them away?" But God says that he will punish those who destroy his temple. Those who expose Christian people to things that lead them to destruction will be destroyed by God. If anyone destroys God's temple, this is what verse 17 says, God will destroy that person. So look around the Church of England. Look around this congregation and think to yourself, who amongst us is destroying God's people, God's temples? Just note them in your heart. Don't tell them who they are, but just note them in your heart and pray that the day will come when God will destroy them so that we can begin or continue building our faith on the gospel and on Jesus Christ. And so as I close my sermon tonight, I want to remind everyone that we are all builders of our temple for God. Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Since the quality of our workmanship has eternal consequences, we must undertake this building project with most of the utmost care and respect. The foundation of our building is nothing other than Christ and his gospel of forgiveness and salvation. Therefore, we are encouraged to find more mature Christians to help us develop our faith and lead us on the right path. The construction of our temple should be undertaken with only the best materials, using quality labor. And the number one best material is the Word of God. Do not look elsewhere for material to construct your temple for God. Begin with the Word of God. And even if you have no other material to use, that's enough for you to build a good temple for God. Since God is the ultimate inspector of our work, he sees everything and knows when we are shortchanging him or when we are working in a shoddy way. Let us be aware of that and make sure we do not disappoint God. Therefore, we must always pay attention, because if we are faithful, if we are diligent and obedient builders, God will judge us to have passed the test and will give us that gold star that we all look forward to. May God help us all to be wise builders and not cowboy builders. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.